for. All right, let's fly. Principle of understanding. We have dealt so much with this in the morning. We are looking at it. We are narrowing it down now, you know, to a particular point. And understanding is needed in all seasons of life, not only in the time of harvest alone. Although being our year of harvest, as it has been prophetically brought unto us by the word of the Lord. But then understanding is needed for all seasons of life. So let's lay the foundation. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. Okay, scripture says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy gettings, get what? Understanding. So the product of wisdom is understanding. So when a man have wisdom, you see, there will be a display of understanding. And wisdom itself is a product of knowledge. So the three work together. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. So it is understanding that you have that helps you. It stabilizes you. Wisdom stabilizes. You see, by wisdom, you can reproduce what you have done before. You see, whether success, whatever it is. When you see people going through what you have been through before and you have the understanding of it, you can actually tell them, you know, this, and we think you are prophesying. You are not prophesying. It's not that you are a prophet, but you have the understanding of it. So understanding of what you have make you, you know, is like you become a prophet in that field. Let's look at it in other translations. Message translation says, above all and before all. Please take note of that. Above all that you do, you pursue. And before all, before you do anything at all, he said, do this. I wish you can put message translation on the screen. Oh, fantastic. Above all and before all. Did you see that? Above all. Say with me, above all. Above anything and before everything. What is it? Do this. Say with me, do this. So can we read together? What do you do? Get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. What is it? Get understanding. Above all, before all, understanding. So meaning that there is no guarantee of success that, I mean, for a student who went in for an exam without understanding, there is no guarantee you are going to pass. And it's like the way God have done things, you know, he has done everything. So he now expects us to understand what he has done for us. I don't know if you understand that. He has done everything. So what he now expects of us is that we should discover by understanding what he has done. For example, Ecclesiastes will say there is nothing new on earth. Have you read that before in your Bible? So then, why is it that when we are faced with things, it looks as if it is new? Why are we making problems and challenges of life we are going through new? Why is pressure so new to us? Amen? Are you with me? Why is pressure of life so new to us? Why is it that we have not come to understanding that pressure is part of our life? In fact, Jesus said, in this world, what are we going to have? He didn't even say, pressure. He put it straight. He said, you have trouble. At another time, another translation, you have tribulation. Is tribulation, I ask you, is it a pleasant word? But it's there in your Bible. It's there. That it is part of our life. Failure is part of success. You can't get up except you are forced down. So, ability to have understanding, you see, gives the edge that is needed. And, okay, let me just stop there. I don't want to push into other translation, because I really want to narrow down into what we have today. So, having looked at so many areas where understanding is needed, whether business, marriage, academics, whatever you want to do, understanding is required. But this, for this service, let's narrow it down to understanding your land. Principle of understanding, knowing that there is a land for you. You have a land. When God calls a man, he calls him to a land. There is always a land. Now, as if all the call he called Abraham is just about land. So he said, come out of your father's land. Now, this is a faith walk. But he said, come out. And then what's the next thing? To a land. Can you please put up Genesis chapter 12? To a land. So meaning that every faith walk, every call of God for a man, there is always a land attached to it. In fact, you can't do whatever God will have you do except you know the land at which you must do it. And, you know, from face to face, the land may change. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of your country and from your kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Now, in this journey, you and I know that beyond land, God was putting Abraham through certain things. Are you getting me? But there is always a land. Now, when I'm saying a land, yes, physical land is part of it. Physical land is part of it. In fact, it's my major focus today. Knowing where you should be at the right time. Marriage can be a land. Where you work can be a land. Where you worship can be a land. Where you live can be a land. But I'm actually narrowing it down to physical place. Physical place. But beyond physical, the land is more than that. But I'm actually narrowing it down to the physical. Where you should be physically. Now, when you are in your land, everything you do landed. In other words, there is a settlement. You know, like somebody said that until you secure a land, you have not landed. No matter how beautiful an aircraft may be, flying. If there is no land to land, what happened to it? It will eventually crash in the air. Your marriage, your home can be a land. It's your land. But today, a physical land I'm talking about. The Lord is teaching us today. A physical. Ability to know. This is where it should be now. Moreover, the fulfillment of God's promises takes place at ordained land. Whatever promise God gives a man, it occurs at a particular location. at a particular place. When the servant of Abraham was about to get wife for Isaac, he had a particular understanding. He said, "Father, I know during the evening time, ladies in the city, they go to the well. So let it be that as I go to the well," he knew if he's going to avoid unnecessary trouble, he must do things by understanding. The ladies will come to the well at a particular hour and time of the day. Are you following me? So he told himself, "I will be there." Then the next thing, let it be that the lady now said, "Okay, give me water, give my camels water," and so on and so forth. Then let her be the wife for Isaac. But he had understanding that if he must get a wife, before any other thing, he must locate where the ladies will gather at the time of his arrival. So there is always the right place to be at the right time. Is somebody listening to this? There is always the right, physically now. You have done, now don't forget, that man is doing something right physically. He was praying. But now by understanding, he knew. Ladies will gather at the well in the evening. So I will go there. Let's look at the life of our Lord Jesus Christ very quickly. He was at different places at different intervals, even while he was in the womb. When it was time for him to be born, it was, you know, his mother carried his pregnancy back to their village, Bethlehem. He was born there. While he was born there, everybody would have thought, "Oh, he's going to grow up here." Something happened that was an instruction. Say with me, divine leading. Say it louder, say divine leading. We are going to look at this later on. These are some of the ways, one of the ways to discover your land, divine leading. So by divine leading, instruction came to the father, "Take this child to Egypt." So that was how Jesus found himself in Egypt. And the only reason for being in Egypt is for preservation. So when God leads his own to different places, there is a divine reason. There is a divine reason. So you are so flexible to say, "Father, your will be done wherever you lead me." I won't just say, okay, this is where I used to be. This is where I've always been, you know. No. But you are so flexible in the hand of God to say, "Father, wherever you lead me, that's where I go." So Jesus was in Egypt a few years. And then again, as the word has come to the father, he said, "Stay there in Egypt until I bring you word." So word came and said, "Those who are seeking the life of the child, they are all dead. Take the child back to the land of Israel." Now this time around, not to Bethlehem again, but to Nazareth. So he was called in Nazareth because he was raised in Nazareth. Are you following me? The land. And then from there, when it was time for him to appear in Jerusalem, so he was there in Jerusalem at age 12. And then he wanted to tabernacle there. Because when everybody finished worship, they were back to their places, he stayed back. So it's when he came back, after 3 days, they found him there. And then he followed them. And he was subjected to them for the next 18 years to make it 30. And then at age 30, he appeared in Galilee. Are you following me? So you see Jesus himself at different places, at different phases of his life. Are you following my thought line? And he was there at Galilee at a particular phase of his life when he wanted to start his earthly ministry in full force. And then he was there to be baptized. So another thing is that when God leads a man you know, to different lands, he always leads you to certain people in those lands. There is always certain people. Certain people. Certain people. Maybe somebody, you are here, you are in a journey. And now you find yourself here. Please, operate in wisdom, in understanding. Operate in understanding. Like Jesus, he knew he was in transit. So when he was with his earthly parents, he knew he was in transit. I mean, for those years, they mistake him to be a carpenter. Is that not? They mistake him to be a carpenter. So by the time he started his ministry at 8:30, one of the problems the Pharisees had is that, is this not the carpenter? How come a carpenter has turned a savior? But when you understand that your life, your destiny is in phases, you always discover what is next. What is next and what is next. So after his baptism at Galilee, then power came. You see, by Holy Spirit, he was moved from Galilee to the wilderness. That's another land. And then he returned in power. And from that moment, according to Acts of Apostles 10:38, he was everywhere. But before he went everywhere, he has been to a certain place of preparation. Say with me, preparation. So in other words, in all that we do, as we go from place to place and place to place, there is a place of preparation, there is a place of manifestation. This is the summary of all the lands a man can get to. So while in preparation, get understanding. The place is just for preparation. You better learn all you need to learn. You better do everything correctly. When preparation is lacking, manifestation will be affected. It will be hindered. So as we talk about issue of harvest, in relation to understanding or understanding in relation to harvest, note that understanding is required in all seasons of life. In all seasons of life. Now, two major ways in securing your land. Two major ways. This is just a simple message I bring to you today. We have dealt so much on this matter in the morning. But I told those who are in the service in the morning, I mean, who came for the prayer session in the morning, that this is the burden the Lord laid on my heart to share with us here today. As we begin the journey of March, the third month of the year, and we are getting to the first quarter of the year, please, get understanding. Get understanding. In all that you do, get understanding. Above all, before all, get understanding. So how do you secure your land? Because securing your land or discovering your land now is necessary if your harvest will be preserved. So number one way to discover your land is by divine leading. By divine leading. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So one thing sons of God enjoy is divine leading. Did you get that? Divine leading to a land that I will show you. And listen to this. When the time of children of Israel were being wasted, it was wasted as a result of their murmuring, and of course, it happened to them when they were in the wrong land. How do I put it? Not that they were actually in the wrong land when they were in wilderness, but they have a wrong mentality. There is no understanding to what God is doing with their life. Is somebody with me today? So because there was no understanding, they were murmuring, they were reacting to everything that God was doing with their life. So your understanding is so important. And why God, you know, was allowing those unbelieving generation to be wasted, you see, the place where they ought to have gone through, God allowed them to be going around the circle. Going around the circle for close to 40 years. So at that moment, until the word of God came and said to them, you have gone around this circle enough. Okay, turn now. So meaning that up until that time, they were in the wrong land. Although they used to be in the right land. Hello? Did somebody get that? Until they started murmuring, they were in the right land. Why they started murmuring and their murmuring attitude delayed them. Their unbelief delayed them. So, their right land now became a wrong location. Do you understand that? So it is possible that a man used to be at the right place because he had understanding. But whenever understanding is lacking, then what used to be right will become wrong. So what used to be the right location might become the wrong location. And if there is anyone like that today, the Lord, in his mercy, will locate you. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Let's look at that in other translation message now. Look at this. It says, God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. So as Spirit of God is calling us, he's telling us two things. What to do. Places to be. Places to go. What to do. Places to be. So the Spirit lead us into actions. The Spirit lead us to places. So if you indeed have the Spirit of God in you, it will lead you to do certain things and lead you to be at certain places. Luke chapter 4. We saw the Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. So I encourage you, you allow Holy Spirit to begin to lead you to what to do. Lead you to places to be. So by divine leading, you can discover the land to be. Look at Abraham. The Holy Spirit keep leading him, until he got to the promised land. And God said to him in Genesis chapter 13, now look around. Look around. After Lot have separated for him, that's another critical factor in securing your land. When you have a Lot around your life or in your life, he might mislead you. So, but immediately Lot separated from Abraham, he was able to hear God. He was able to see what God is saying. Now walk through, see. And as far as you can see, it is yours. Somebody, you will see your land. Then Acts of Apostles chapter 8, verse 26, Acts 8:26. Look at how the Holy Spirit also led. Let's see Philip. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And then look at verse 40 also. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And if you read further about Philip, that was where he eventually set up his family. He had daughters who are prophetess. So the Spirit led him. There is a man I want to reach. He's at so land. Now you go there. Now as you go there, it doesn't mean you will live there. I just want you to do something now. And then he was there. And then look at what happened while he preached to that man. The heart of the man was so open to what God wanted to do. He just reached out to the man. A mighty man. And Enoch. Today, you can liken that man to be a prime minister. Or a minister of a nation. And then in the convoy with all the military guards and whatever, and then the Spirit of God led the man, and you get closer to the car. The convoy was coming, and then you stop, and then you walk to the oga and say, do you understand what you are reading? How did he know he was reading? What did he know about the man? But the Spirit led him. And then the next thing the man said is, except I have somebody to explain to me, I don't understand. And then he asked Philip to come inside. And they got to a water. As he explained the word of God to him, the man got baptized. And that was all. So meaning that when a man is in his land, everything works so easily. Everything works so easily. Because a man is in his land. And after finishing his assignment there, the Bible says in verse 40, he was found in other places. Till he came to another land where he said to his family, Caesarea. So this is one way a man can secure his land, by divine leading. Divine leading. You remember Jacob also, when he was in his trouble running away from his brother, and then God came to him, he saw a revelation of heaven, and then he said, God is in this place, I don't know it. And then God was telling him, to you I'm going to give this land. I have a covenant work with your father, Abraham. So meaning that when, as God is relating with us, there is a land. Whatever you want to do with us, there is a land. There is a land. Let's look at the other way of securing or discovering your land so that you can preserve your harvest. It is called divine scattering. Divine scattering. Divine scattering. Yes, scattering as in the word scattering. When trouble comes. And this happens when people of God refuse divine leading. When people of God refuse divine leading, then they are forcefully moved by divine scattering. Now, by divine leading, you know, okay, God is leading me. By scattering, you will think God has rejected you. But if again, you can operate in understanding, you will know that either by leading or by scattering, it is God at work in you. Do we understand? If you are with me, please say amen. Let's go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Acts of Apostles chapter 8. Let's read verse 1 and then we jump to verse 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. Can you see that? There was a persecution. The church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles were not scattered despite all the scattering. They were still in Jerusalem. But, you know, for every other people, they were scattered. They were scattered. So you see a lot of scattering going on all over the nations of the world. You know, and God is using the platform of economy to do some scattering work. While some are still in Jerusalem, many have been scattered abroad. Are you getting me? So it's important for us to know who I am. What's my nature? What's the nature of my life, of my calling, of my destiny? What will God have me do? All of these things will determine the land you should be. I was saying this in the morning. If your own habitat's supposed to be a water, you know, like a fish whose habitat is in the water, you can't survive on the land. So in other words, your survivor is secured in your land, is guaranteed in your land. So you really have to know who you are, what God wants to do with your life. And this will determine where God has for you. Do you know that people have gone abroad and they can't actually survive just the weather? Some cannot survive the weather, just the weather. I mean, just the weather. They develop health crisis. Now look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That is what God wanted to achieve. There is always a reason, either for the leading or for the scattering. Are we still together? So that you don't miss out in what God wants to do. And then from here, we saw Philip. He was part of those that were scattered. Bible says he went down to the city of Samaria. He preached to them. God did great things through his hand. And verse 8, the Bible says, because of the presence of Philip in Samaria, there was a great joy in that city. So when you are in your land, you become a great joy to the people there. You become a blessing. You become a blessing. So in your land, you become a blessing. In your land, you are blessed to become a blessing. But if you are not in your land, you find yourself toiling. and struggling. Let me begin to round up. Joseph got to the land of Egypt by scattering. You remember the story. It was by scattering. He was sold there to get to his land of promise. Imagine, that was his land of promise. But he was sold there as a slave. But that was his land of promise. May your eyes of understanding be open. So that you can see beyond what you see. You can understand people. You can understand places. You can understand what God is doing with your life by time. Are you listening to me? And when Joseph got there, of course, things did not get, you know, working for him suddenly. It took time. And at the end of the day, in Genesis chapter 41, verse 52, he called his second boy, Ephraim. He said, "Now I am fruitful in my land. In my land, I am now fruitful." So in your land, you become blessed, you become fruitful. No matter what has happened before. And another thing, when a man is his land, is that you must be patient. Whatever God wants to do with your life, be patient so that you can eat the fruit of the land. So that you can eat the fruit of the land. Be patient. Be patient. Joseph was patient with God. He suffered a lot, but eventually he became fruitful in that same land. Somebody is under the sound of my word. What you need to do is to be patient in your marriage. Be patient. You might be going through some stuff now. You might be putting it all of the effort and whatever, and you're asking yourself, am I not trying? Am I not praying? Am I not, what is it I'm not doing right? You see, after you have done everything right, you know you are in your land, you are doing everything right, and yet things are not working well, what you need to understand is patience. Did somebody get that? Hello? Did you get that? After you have done everything right, you are in your land, and you have done everything right, and it seems things are not yet right, what you need to do is be patient. Somebody say amen. Lastly, it is dangerous to be in the wrong land. This sounds like a warning. It is dangerous to be in the wrong land. Wrong land can cost the life of a man who carried the covenant of God. Being in the wrong land can cut short the life of a man, can cut short the promise of God for a man, can cut short the covenant of God. Ruth and her husband, together with his son, they found themselves in the wrong land. They were consumed. The prodigal boy, prodigal son, got into a wrong land. All of his inheritance were consumed. And there are different reasons that get people to wrong land. Wrong association is one of it. Impatience is another. Lack of direction is another. Now, the disciples were commanded in Acts of Apostles chapter 1, verse 4, not to depart from Jerusalem until a certain time. So you must understand that not every land is your land. Not every land is your land. Locate your land and you will not be consumed. Genesis 26, verse 2, verse 3. God told Isaac, remain in this land. Don't go to Egypt. Yes, there is surplus, there is plenty in Egypt, but stay here. Stay here. And he remained. And he prospered as he sowed. So know that there is a danger in going to a land that God did not command you to go. It may cost you everything you have worked for. Is somebody getting this today? Maybe you are about doing something. Holy Spirit is already giving you a check in your spirit. Now, receive the word of God by faith and take the right direction by it. Take the right direction. Let me also put this part as I finally close. The spirit of understanding is what gives understanding. So part of the work of Holy Spirit is that is a spirit of understanding. There is a dimension of Holy Spirit. According to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, verse 3. Can we read that? Isaiah chapter 11. And the Bible says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of God. So part of this dimension of Holy Spirit is that it's a spirit of understanding. Now in verse 3, the Bible says, he shall make him of quick understanding, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. He had understanding. So he knew what to do. He didn't struggle. Now he didn't struggle not because he's God personified or because he's a son of God. Is somebody listening to this? Jesus is one man who operates in wisdom and in understanding. He is always at the right place at the right time. He knew what to do at time. In the night, he knows what to do. In the day, he knows what to do. He was at the right place doing the work of the Father. He knew when to pass through Jericho. He knew when to be at the pool of Bethesda. He knew when to be on his way to the house of Jairus so that the woman with the issue of blood can just touch the hem of his garment. He is always at the right place at the right time. When they told him, your friend that you love is sick, come and heal him, he understood the time to go there. Otherwise, the Jews will have killing Jerusalem majestically, and he told his disciple, it is time to die. When they were arresting him, he said, no, don't think you have the power. It is just your time. So I release my time, nobody take it from me. He's a man of understanding. He knew where to be at the right time, and he did all this by the spirit of understanding. We have seen our fathers in faith demonstrating this. Even when they have all that is required to just fly to any part of the world at any given time, yet Holy Spirit will say, okay, don't move until I ask you to move. Don't go out. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't move to a certain part, to a certain region until I bring you word. Somebody today, I encourage you, submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. Ask for the spirit of understanding, and you will be quickened with understanding. Please stand to your feet. Now, when Jesus told the disciples, wait till you are endued or filled with power, you see, he said, until that time, don't go out of Jerusalem. Look at me as we begin to pray. This is what Jesus was telling them. If you go out of this place without power, you will be consumed. Before you leave this place, you know this terrain too well. So in a way, while you are waiting for empowerment, you are still secure here. But beyond here, I have a bigger assignment for you. But wait here for your preparation. Don't forget, whatever the land at any given time, it is either a place of preparation or a place of what? Talk to me. Manifestation. So he told them, this Jerusalem, I am preparing you for something. So wait here. So that once you receive power, you can go anywhere and you will not be harmed. Whatever comes at that time, you'll be secured. Your faith will be intact. This is the word of the Lord unto you today. You need spirit of understanding in prospering in your land. Can you give thanks to the Lord for his word? Can you give thanks? Can you give thanks? Thank you for your word, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, I would like us to pray for the spirit of understanding. But let me say this. You know, we've been young. Now, we are getting older. I discovered that there are people who started to live on their own when they ought not to. They hurriedly say, I'm old enough. I want to have my privacy. I want to have my privacy. I don't want the wahala of my sister. I don't want the wahala of my parents, and so on and so forth. Meanwhile, that land where they are, God is preparing them. But they cannot endure the preparation. They were seeing the man or the fellow who owns the land, because there is always the owner of the land, as being wicked to them. And they hurriedly left the place of preparation. People today, they hurriedly leave ministry. I too can preach. I too I can do this. I too I can do that. For lack of understanding. And indeed, I have seen people bite their finger. It's so obvious that they did not wait for power before they leave their Jerusalem. Did you get it now? The power here now might not be the Holy Spirit Jesus is talking about, but an empowerment for something. I think I was reading online one Igbo guy who served his boss so well in somewhere in Enugu. And then the boss decided to give him a shop somewhere in Lagos with good worth 15 million naira. Because he served well. Now, for his contemporary who didn't serve well, they will start from ground zero. And they will think life is hard to them. Life is not hard. It is because they didn't wait enough. They jump out. Somebody today, I'd like you to pray for understanding. Lord, where am I in hurry? Where? Lord, help me. Give me understanding. of time, of place, of people, of things. Lord, help me. 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 Yashkutalia faranda. Understand of place, of people, of time, of all things. Lord, give me understanding. Give me understanding. Pray for understanding. This is the word of the Lord on you today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Paul's prayer, God on behalf of Ephesians Church, Ephesians 1:18 is that they will have eyes of understanding. Above all things, they are good Christians. They have the Spirit of God. They have revelation. But you see, Paul said, one thing is necessary. That the eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That you have a false eyes, a clear eyes, so that you can see exactly what it is that God has called you to do, places He has called you to be. Can you pray this prayer? That Father, in seeing I will see, in understanding I will understand. Go ahead and declare things, places. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. That the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened. We'll be open. We'll be enlightened. We'll be open. We'll be enlightened. We'll be open. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.